I took a deep breath just as we were about to roll tape, and I was going to say something about this is not easy. This I am entering this feeling a kind of a great weight of, I don't know, maybe responsibility or something, and of course tackling a topic that is so tough. And I was about to tell you, I'm going to save the comment for now so our listeners hear it also. If I feel this weight of responsibility, I wonder what you feel as someone talking to me and to I don't know how many other people about this book and about this story. Ahead of us even talking about the experience of you writing this book and reliving this experience with your father, what has it been like to talk about this story over and over again and to have to respond to what I'm sure are occasionally clumsy questions from those who want to know more about this?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm actually a big believer in personal stories, and I'm a big believer in talking about things even when it is difficult or awkward or uncomfortable. And I think this is a hard topic. You know, as you suggest, I think this is a very hard topic to wade into because it is so sensitive. But it's something that happens a lot, unfortunately. There are twice as many suicides, according to one statistic, there are quite twice as many suicides annually as there are murders. So it's something that is happening a lot. And I think given how frequently it happens, the silence that surrounds it is really weird and actually quite dangerous. So I think we do need to all start talking about it. And I think that inevitably that discussion is going to be, you know, halting and a little strange because it's a topic that we don't really know how to talk about. So that's why what I feel with this book, what I've done here is just tell one personal story, because I think that's the way to get into a topic, is really just to tell stories.
Hmm. And of course, this is your own story, but it's also the story of, for instance, your mother, mm-hmm. and some of her important friends, and your sister, and so on. How did they greet the news that ultimately your process of trying to understand your father's suicide was going to ultimately take the form of a book?
Well, you know, it's different. I think it's different for different people. I think for some people, it's good to know that the story's being told. I think for other people, they're happy to know that the story's being told, but they don't necessarily want to go back into that degree of pain. So I would say that my family has been universally loving and supportive of the book. Some of them want to read it, some of them don't want to read it, and I really, really respect that, because I think it is a tough, painful, personal subject. But at the same time, I really thought it was important to write about it, and to write about it honestly, because I think that for people that are going through this, or people are just, you know, as you say, people who have just wondered what it's like to go through this, the answer is it's a mess. It's a mystery, it's bewildering, and it's complicated. And I felt that if I was going to write about it at all, I really needed to write about it honestly, because otherwise I'd really be doing a disservice to anyone who wondered what the experience was like, and also anyone who had been through the experience. I didn't want to make it prettier and neater than it really is.
Hmm.
But it's also not all, you know, the book is not all kind of grim and serious. I mean, as anybody who's gone through any kind of tragedy, which means basically all of us, knows there's always a kind of black comedy piece of it, and that's in the book. And then there's just sort of the general untidy mess of family life, which you know, has love and rivalry and secrets and, you know, things that get said and things that don't get said, and that's all in the book as well.
Hmm. You say at one point, and I think you just quoted yourself just now as you spoke to me, the story of my father's death, what I think led up to it and the impact it had on my family, mm-hmm. is a messy one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things bore down on him for years, and a lot of things changed after he died. If you take it year by year chronologically, not much happens. It's when you begin to look at it thing by thing that the story starts to emerge. It's a crooked, looping, labyrinthine story. You walk into the maze, pick a path, and follow it as far as you can until you hit a dead end. You realize, no, that's not it. Or that was partially right, but not entirely. Or maybe you don't hit a wall. Maybe you make it all the way through to the exit, but then you start wondering if there are other paths that would have worked too. You realize you haven't figured out the entire maze yet, and that's your goal. You want to know the whole of it, so you keep going back to the beginning, or to a beginning anyhow. The fiendish thing about this particular maze is that there are so many different beginnings and an infinite number of possible places to end. As I read that, it really helps me, I think, understand for the first time in this sort of profound way what the process is like to try to make sense of something and to attach an image to something which helps us make more sense of it. And of course, this is just one of a number of different pictures which you create, or images or ideas about trying to make clearer this thing which at first at least seemed so incomprehensible. I want you to talk about that process for a moment, and particularly how much of it occurred in the actual writing process of this book versus even just walking around and living through these events. Was that already part of your way of dealing with this tragedy?
Yeah, no, that is a fascinating question. I think, in fact, my walking through the events, that's the part that felt like the stumbling around, you know, stumbling around, bumping into things, and really being in the dark. I really didn't have a whole lot of insight going through the events. I think for me, it was the writing process that started to make sense of it. And I think the book, in the book, I'm not only telling the story of my father's suicide and the impact of it, but I'm also really talking about what it is like to try to make sense of these events. And as background, I should say that my father's death was very sudden, very unexpected. He got up one morning, he got dressed for work, he made coffee for my mother, he put the coffee by her bed, and then he went into his study and shot himself. And so it was completely, nobody had any warning and nobody had any idea that he was feeling that kind of despair. And when I heard the news that he had died, my initial reaction was, that's impossible, he never would have done such a thing. And then there was this other piece of me that said, of course. And I think that that was the paradox that I was trying to struggle with, is that in a way, this was so out of character for my father, who was on the surface a very elegant, thoughtful, witty, funny, sweet man, and then he did this incredibly violent secret act. And I was trying to kind of figure out, how do you make sense of that? And so it took me a long time, and I started writing about it. I started writing a novel, because I was, you know, I'm usually a fiction writer, and that was the way that I thought I would go at this. And I felt like this novel was very, it felt very removed, it felt very numb, it felt very unreflective of the experience, either the chaos of the experience or the intensity of the experience. And also this passage you just read, which is about how it's kind of this looping, it's like being in a maze and you keep going back to the beginning. And that's where the idea of the suicide index came from, that here is this chaotic, messy set of events. It's like a bunch of fragments, a bunch of puzzle pieces. And the index was a way of imposing a kind of almost ridiculously formal structure on it. So the book is actually organized as an index, and it's, you know, it starts with suicide, act of, attempt to imagine, and then it goes to suicide, act of, bare bones account, and then suicide, act of, immediate aftermath. And the entries are arranged in alphabetical order. And it starts out chronological. It starts out with, you know, here's what happened the day my father died. And then the passage that you read is actually the point where the book stops being chronological and where I just say, you know what, I'm never going to be able to get at this with chronology. I'm going to have to just tell individual stories of, here's what my father's experience in business was like. Here are some things I saw that maybe should have warned me that he was feeling this way. Here are some ridiculously humorous moments that came out of his death. Here is what it was like to talk to his brother after his death. I mean, so I started to just tell stories, and that seemed to be more true to the experience, to just take all these fragments and let them just lie all over the place, but use the index as a way to kind of pull them together into some kind of orderly structure that would make sense for the reader.
Hmm. Making sense of something which is ultimately senseless or feels senseless.
Yes, and almost at the same time that I'm making sense of it, I'm acknowledging that it's ultimately senseless.
Of course.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, I read this book very, very carefully, but it completely flew past me that your index, that is the headings of each of these short chapters, were alphabetical. Mm-hmm. I missed that. But I have to say, I love the way you, I love that device. And I wonder for, I mean, in a sense now, as I see this alphabetical listing, what was it a tricky template with which to live once you'd created it? Or was it in a sense one little bit of tangible order to give you some direction?
It was more like that. And I have to tell you, I'm so grateful that you read the book this closely. I mean, it's really nice to answer questions like this. But, what I can tell you about the index is I was struggling with how to, you know, I started writing these stories. I threw out a whole draft of the novel, which was painful but necessary. And then I started writing these individual stories, and I couldn't figure out how to bring a meaningful structure to it. And with a story of that is I thought about this idea of the index because it just seemed like a kind of a way to order it, and I didn't know if it was going to work or not work. And my husband is trained as an architect, and he told me that in architecture school, they learn to design with something that's called a partie, which comes from the École des Beaux-Arts. And it's basically you come up with a concept at the beginning of a design project. You come up with a concept. Like you might say, okay, this building is going to be a sphere within a cube. And then you just use that as your kind of, it's almost like a design gimmick that you use through the design process, and it may survive in the final design, or you may have discarded it by then, but it just helps you through the process of design. So I thought, okay, the index will be a partie. It'll help me get the material out there, and it will either survive or it won't survive. But as I worked with the index, I started to see that it wasn't just a way of getting the stories out there. It was actually a very meaningful way of structuring the book and kind of acknowledging the chaos and the need for order at the same time.
We're speaking with Joan Wickersham, and we're talking about her book called The Suicide Index, Putting My Father's Death in Order. You have briefly touched on a very intriguing fact, that is, that for all that you do not know about your father, I mean, you know a lot about him, but not everything about him, and you don't feel like you ultimately know enough to fully understand why he did this. But one of the things you do know about your father is that he disapproved of suicide.
Yes.
Talk a moment about that, how you know that, and also how that factors into all of this.
Yeah. I mean, the way I know it is that there were a number of times when I was growing up where somebody we knew, there were a couple of stories where family, there were suicides in a couple of family friends, and each time it happened, my father was very vocal about saying that is not an option, that should never be an option, that's not acceptable, life is the only thing we have, we can't throw it away. So he really kind of made these philosophical pronouncements against it, and I can't really reconcile that with the way he died. I mean, I think in a way it makes the way he died even more mysterious, because it was not, you know, it was not something that he apparently held as an option for himself, and yet he did it. So that's, again, you know, the way he died seems like it was against his principles and against his character, but it happened. And so I think that's the other piece of this book. It's trying, you know, there's so many things about his death, and I suspect about many suicides, where you have to kind of accept that two polar opposite things are true. And it's really, really hard to accept that, because you keep thinking, okay, is it this or is it this? And in fact, it's both, but those two things seem to cancel each other out.
Hmm. And then, as you say so well, so here we are then in a kind of paradoxical muddle that seems to be the destination of much of what I write about my father. I thought he disapproved of suicide, but now I'm not sure if that was true. And even if it was true, I'm not sure what it tells me about his death. I'll never know whether for him suicide was a long-considered, maybe even long-resisted possibility, or a sudden break. brainstorm.